So glad that you're here today with us at Washington Avenue. Staff was circled around a while back, and we were talking about different things that we do at worship and ways to make sure that we're focusing on the right things and emphasizing the right things. And one of the things we talked about was the Lord's Supper, and it is so important. It is the centerpiece, I think, of what we do in worship as the Christian church. But one of the things that comes with the fact that we do it every single week is that it can easily become a ritual. It can become just something we kind of sleep right through and we check it off the list and we move on. And we didn't want to do that all of the time. And so we decided the best way to remedy that was to have a Sunday, and it's Family Sunday today, where we focus specifically on the Lord's Supper. So that is what we're doing today. It's going to be weird and different, and you're going to love it. All right? I'm going to start out with scripture from the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. Paul says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Those of you that have been around here a long time will recognize this piece of wood. It's not just any old piece of wood. This graced the front of our communion table that used to sit here, the old one, the original one that sat here for 65 years in this place right here and quietly bore witness to the celebration of the supper every week. If you can see it, I don't know how far back you can. It just has the words inscribed from Scripture. This one says, this do in remembrance of me. This is King James. We know that Jesus spoke King James. So that's why that one is saying that. This modern table shortens it a little bit and just gets right to the point, in remembrance of me, and that's perfectly okay. NIV said, do this in remembrance of me. It doesn't really matter how it's said. What matters is that we do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ. But of all the words on that plaque or in that verse, I think the one that has to stand out to us, sometimes at least, is the word remember. That's the word. That's the point. And when Jesus used that word, it resonated in all of those Hebrew Jewish minds because to them it said not only remember something, the force of the word in their understanding is do not forget. He wanted them not to forget. So you might ask about the elements. Why did Jesus choose the bread and wine to help them remember him? What do they help us remember? Well, Scripture answers that pretty clearly for us. Jesus took several things that went on in the ancient world in which he lived, and primarily an ancient commemorative feast that was familiar to every Jew, the Passover, and he modified it to commemorate a new covenant and a better sacrifice. Jesus, who was the Lamb of God, became the ultimate Passover Lamb. They understood the place of the Lamb. Jesus, and talking about his body and blood, proclaims a new and better word completely now, an effective way to deal with our sinfulness and to rescue us, to deliver us from the consequences of our own rebellion and brokenness. I think we talk about those things a lot, the body and the blood. I think we have a better understanding of that. But I also was wondering, why a meal? Why did Jesus choose something that probably required a table and time around a table to remember and not forget him? Well, I think you would probably agree with me as I look back through my life and my long history. Meals and tables are special places and things, are they not? So very special, almost sacred. That's why it pains me so much when I go out to eat and look around the table. There are six people looking down at their phones. Don't do that. You don't have to do that, right? You can control that. But they are special places and things. I have a picture for you that we're going to show up here. I spent last week at Robert Lee, Texas, with my brothers. This is the table in the living room of that little tiny house. I ate every meal pretty much at that table last week. That table is really nothing special just in its being. It is almost 100 years old. It has sat in that spot for almost 100 years. It was made by my grandfather with his own hands. Nothing fancy or special about it. It's very utilitarian. But can you imagine all that's been talked about around that table? Five generations of the Key family and the Shelburne family and the community and the friends and the traveling folks and the church folks. That table has endured the good and the bad and the best and the worst. It has been surrounded primarily by laughter, but also by tears. And as I was sitting by that table this week, I thought, if this table could talk, if this table could only talk. Jesus knew that tables and the things we taste there and talk about with those gathered together around them, these are the times, these are the things that we remember. Today, when we get to the communion part of the service at the end, we will be echoing an act of grace that has been commemorated in Christ's churches for over 2,000 years now, so that we will remember and not forget. And when we partake today, let me encourage you to remember what this table tells us about Jesus and who he was and what he did for us. And maybe even more than that, don't fail to be amazed that you are invited to this table. Father, thank you for the invitation. Thank you for your table. What an amazing, unlikely, unbelievable reality that you have invited us to gather around it and share holy elements. Please, Lord, through your grace, make us worthy. Through Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to just as I am, I would be lost, but mercy and grace my freedom brought, and now to I
You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. But if you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say to you, if you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So, if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. You may be thinking to yourself, that doesn't sound very communion-y, Shane. And I think you're wrong. Because there's nothing that God hates more. There's nothing that breaks God's heart more than broken relationships. There's nothing that breaks God's heart more than broken relationships. And in Genesis chapter 3, when Eve reached her hand out and grabbed the fruit and took it from the tree and took it into her being, relationships were broken. First and foremost, our relationship with God was broken, but also our relationship with and to each other was broken. And there's nothing that breaks God's heart more than broken relationships, which is why I believe that in 1 Corinthians, when Paul is giving his instructions about how to go about taking the Lord's Supper, I can't help but believe that Paul has Jesus' instructions from Matthew chapter 5 in his brain, because the Corinthian church was defined by division. In chapter 1, there are four separate subgroups of people, all thinking that they're better than the other. These people say, I was brought to Christ by Peter. And these people say, I was brought to Christ by Paul. And these people say, I was brought to Christ by Apollos. And these people say, I was brought to Christ by Christ. So we're better than you. And Paul says, yeah. No, actually, that's not how it works at all. Apollos watered or planted the seed, and I watered the seed. But God is the one who made the seed grow. You're not better than anybody based off of who converted you. Later on, he deals with this challenge of spiritual gifts, right? People are trying to say that their spiritual gifts are better than these other people's spiritual gifts and so on and so forth, and they're ranking and dividing themselves. And Paul says, no, that's not how it works. And then finally here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, people are dividing themselves based off of their socioeconomic status. This is how Paul puts it. But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you. For it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together, church. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and so to some extent I believe it, but of course there must be divisions among you so that those of you who have God's approval may be recognized. He's being sarcastic there. When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say to you? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. Paul goes on to tell them what Jim has already brought before us this morning. I pass on to you what I received as first importance. And in verse 27, he says this, if anyone eats this bread and drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily, they are guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, if you do that without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment on you. But if we examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Friends, we don't have to worry about making sacrifices anymore. Jesus took care of that for us, but every single week we get an opportunity to consider the sacrifice, to contemplate the sacrifice that Jesus has made. And one of the essential elements of the time of communion is contemplation of what we have done that made the cross necessary. Because nothing breaks God's heart more than broken relationships. And I promise you, without knowing much about anything about very many of you in this room at all, that you have operated in a way that broke your relationship with God this week. And that you have operated in a way that broke your relationship with others this week. So if we may be so bold as to take Jesus' words for what they mean, before we come to the sacrifice, we should stop what we're doing and be reconciled to God and to each other. And I don't know what that looks like for you, but I bet that you do. I don't know what your relationships with are like with the people that you're sitting beside and close to, but I would imagine probably that those relationships aren't what they could be or ought to be. And part of that's your fault. So what better time than now, as we approach this table together, to be reconciled, not just to God, but to each other as well. Because we have all broken our relationships with God and with each other, and nothing breaks God's heart more. So Father, we're sorry. Father, I am so sorry. Amen.
It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you're coming from. It doesn't matter where you've been. Hear me tell you that I forgive. It doesn't matter what you've done.
It doesn't matter what you've done.
It doesn't matter where you're coming from. It doesn't matter where you've been.
It doesn't matter where you've been.
Hear me tell you that I forgive. You're not guilty anymore.
You're not guilty anymore.
You're not filthy. You're not broke.
not broken anymore. You're not captive anymore. I love you, mercy is yours. You're not guilty anymore.
I'm not guilty anymore.
You're not broken anymore.
I'm not broken anymore.
You're not captive anymore.
Commemorate and contemplate. These, I would imagine, for most of us, is what we are more comfortable with when we approach the Lord's Supper. Maybe it's because it's part of our past history. Maybe it's been our habit, our tradition. Maybe it's been our practice and even our preference. But what I want to share with this part of is another aspect of communion that I think maybe we don't do as well, one that we're not quite as comfortable with, me included, and it's this idea of celebrate. When we come to the Lord's Supper, what do we have to celebrate? Well, actually quite a bit. We'll get to that in a minute. I want to share an account that Luke shares with us in his last chapter in 24. It happens to be on the day of resurrection, the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Later in the day, there's this man by the name of Cleopas, and he is making his way back to his home. He and another person's with him, and along that journey, they're going from Jerusalem to this little village of Emmaus. Another person joins them on the journey, a stranger to them at the moment, at least they think. And he's asking them, so what have you guys been talking about? And in the midst of that conversation, they're like, you haven't heard? You don't hear all the hubbub going on around town? And, well, as they began to tell everything about what happened to Jesus and how he was crucified, and now there's rumors of his tomb being empty and people saying he's risen and they've seen him. And in all of that excitement, Jesus then begins to tell them how that the Christ, the Messiah, was to suffer many things. And he showed that to them from the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, from the prophets. As he began to go further on the journey, they got to their village and they said, hey, why don't you come in and eat with us and stay here for the night? It's getting close to evening. I'm going to pick it up right there. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. He began, after he vanished from their sight, they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? They got up that very hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found gathered together the 11 and those that were with them. And they said this, the Lord really has risen. He did appear to Peter. And then they began to relate their experiences on the road of how he was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. Can you imagine that encounter with them? They would not have been in the upper room on that night before the crucifixion. But on this evening of the resurrection, they share this meal with Jesus. And once they realize who it is, recognizing that he has risen, in their excitement, and we know they're excited because it says they got back and went to Jerusalem. That's 7 miles. And they had just traveled that, and it's night. So in their excitement, they travel back to see the other disciples and those gathered, and they tell the story of all that had happened. What do we have to be excited about when it comes to the Lord's Supper? What do we celebrate? We're more comfortable with the contemplation, the remembering, but maybe we need to remember the celebrating too. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he said, as some said, hey, there is no resurrection of the dead. And if that was the case, then Jesus didn't rise. And if Jesus didn't rise, then our faith and our preaching are useless and futile. And we are still in our sins. What do we have to celebrate? The fact that Jesus rose from the dead are raised. Those who've gone before us, we'll see again. Those who come after us, we have the promise and hope of resurrection one day to live with Jesus forever. As the song we sang, we're not guilty anymore. We no longer are living under the weight of our sin. Our sins have been forgiven. For that, we celebrate. And like them, may we be able to sing and to shout and to say, the Lord really has risen. So this morning, as we partake, as we come to this table, we will do so coming just as we are, remembering what he has done, remembering that Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, truly has risen from the dead. Now, as you've noticed, as you come in, you didn't grab a little cup like we have done in the past. This morning, it's going to be a little bit different, and so here are the instructions so we know how to do this. In just a minute, after I pray, elders will be coming up, and I will. Some of them will be serving from the front. I will serve them, and then you guys will begin to make your way this way or to the back. So those of you who are at the back of the auditorium, you will be served back there where somebody will give you a piece of bread, and then you will dip it into the cup of juice. The ones at the front will be coming up this way, and then you'll make your way to the sides. So if the elders will be coming up this way, and I will pray for us. Father in heaven, I thank you. As we look at the cross, it is symbolic of your crucifixion, but there's no body on the cross because we know you have risen from the dead. And for that, we celebrate. For that, we sing. We celebrate the fact, even in our contemplating, even in our remembering, we celebrate that you, Jesus, rose from the dead. We thank you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As everyone is invited to this table to come and eat a meal together, let's celebrate together. This is the wedding feast that we are invited to. So you might even put a celebration face on. You may sing really loud and celebrate that way. You may hug each other, but we're coming together to enjoy this meal together as a family. So let's stand. We'll start celebrating now, just the way we did when we first came in, but maybe our celebration can be a little bit more lively. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the is the flood.
Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sing it. Nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. We need nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What is done? What is done? All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. So I praise God for what He's done. Oh, see on the hill of Calvary, my Savior bled for me. My Jesus set me free. And look at the wounds that give me life, grace flowing from His side. No greater sacrifice. What He's done, what He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. So I praise God for what He's done. Dead and done, His life is overcome. So speak, say the name above all names, over every broken place. He is risen from the grave. What He's done, what He's done. For the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. So I praise God for what He's done. And now, on the throne of majesty, the Father's will complete. He reigns in victory. So sing to the King. He is worthy to receive all the worship we can bring. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. So I praise God. What He's done, what He's done. All the glory and the honor to the Son. My sins are forgiven. My future is heaven. So I praise God for what He's done. I praise God for what He's done.
Be seated again. Let's give the Lord a hand. Well, that's the third time I've done this today, and you guys are the best celebrators of all. That's all I can say. So glad you're here today. Aren't you glad you came? And what a blessing it is. And so many things we have to celebrate as we consider what He's done. And I hope that we can remember that as we go forward. And once in a while, we'll do this again, probably in a little different way, but just to keep it fresh and exciting to us, as it should be one of the most exciting things that we do every week, right? we're glad that you're here today. If you're visiting with us, we haven't yet said a special welcome to you. We're glad that you're here. If you would, grab one of those Connect cards in the pew right in front of you. If you are new among us or visiting, just fill one of those out. And we'd love it if you would bring it to the Connection, Guest Connection desk out here in the main West lobby. There'll be somebody there to talk with you about Washington Avenue, answer maybe some questions you might have. And they even have a little gift for you if you're brave enough to show up. So why don't you try it? We have a little video from Right Now Media, so I'm going to let you watch that real quick.
Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John.
I have fallen in love with the work of Paul as I've studied the book of 1 Corinthians, and I believe you will too.
This is where Jesus taught in Capernaum, and you have to understand this scene.
The Lord is my shepherd. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look deeply into the 23rd Psalm.
Right Now Media. It's for groups. It's for personal devotion. It's for parents.
The bullseye of parenting is to raise children who become like Jesus.
It's for kids.
This is Phil. We're digging into the Bible, which, as we've mentioned, is more than just a book.
It's for tough times.
So when you recognize that you're trying to have a conversation with your spouse and they're not ready to talk, it's not helpful to keep pressing
right.
them.
It's for every phase of life.
If you've made mistakes with money, you know what that makes you? Over 12.
And now, it's yours. We've purchased a Right Now Media subscription for everyone in our church. So check your inbox for the digital invitation and download the app for instant access to thousands of biblically based videos. Get equipped. Get inspired.
You can scan that code up there if you know how to do that. And it will tell you more information. You know, we've been talking about this for years here. It's been available, but it's still one of the best-kept secrets, it seems like, sometimes. We'd like everyone in the church to use this because you know as well as I do how many bad things there are on media. This is a good thing. This is something that will bless and enrich your family. It can teach you. It can encourage you. It can instruct you and educate you. So check out Right Now Media. If you have any problems getting on or wanting to know how to get on, just call us at the church at the information desk. We'll be glad to tell you how to do that. I think you'll be blessed by it. I've also mentioned just quickly, remember our Change for a Dollar program, even though we don't mention it every week, we are doing that every single week. Your $2 in the offering boxes at the back are blessing people every single week, so don't get lax on that. We have right now an opportunity for you to eat. How about that? Student Ministry is having a fundraiser today, luncheon, because they're going on a mission trip to Colorado to, I think, do some construction projects and such in the summer months, and they're just raising a little bit of money for that trip. You can go. It's Mexican pylon. It's great. It smells so good. I've been smelling it all day, and I'm about to get to go. The meal is free. But donation is accepted and certainly appreciated. So it's right there waiting for you. Do not go through that. You know what the most horrible moment of my Sunday every week is this week, this moment. What are we going to eat? That's the worst. Where are we going to eat? That's the worst moment of every Sunday morning. Just go down the hall and eat in there. So glad you're here today. God bless you. We'll see you soon.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out a worship experience here at Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're so glad that you chose to carve out part of your weekend to spend with us. And we would love to know that you were here watching with us online. So would you take just a moment, head over to our website, wacconline.org, and fill out the digital connect card there. You can let us know that you were here. You can let us know any next steps that you may be interested in taking, including but not limited to placing your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You can also let us know about anything that we can be praying about for you and with you, and I will be following up with you later on this week about those Connect cards. Again, we're so glad that you chose to be with us for this worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace.